Oh, the Lord is so good to us. So good, so wonderful, so gracious. Thanks be to God. Would you turn, please, in the Scriptures to the Gospel account of John and the second chapter. Gospel account of John, chapter 2. You're going to help me with this tonight, you know.
Yes, sir.
Utterance is greatly affected by the hearer. So we're in together on this. I heard something about miracles when I saw this conference title. Did I see that right? Somebody say miracles.
Miracles.
Do you believe in miracles? That God is the God of miracles. That term miracle has to do with power that makes possible. And with men, all manner of things are impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. That means the thing you thought couldn't happen, it can. Huh? All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him or her that believes. So that means the money thing, that you don't see how you could catch up or how you could get out of that, is possible.
Yes, sir.
I said it's possible.
Yes, sir.
That means the physical thing. That the experts and the best doctors say, well, there's nothing can be done about that. Yeah, there is something can be done. There is. That means the marriage. Huh? That it looks like it's just too much has been said and done. It's gone too far. It's impossible. Well, maybe with you. But not with God. God can make the bitter waters sweet. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. You know, the children of Israel, when they got delivered from Egypt, they got to the waters of Marah. And they were starving for water, and they dipped some of it up, and they thought, can't drink this. This is undrinkable. This bitter water, you cannot drink this. And maybe you're in a situation where you think, I can't take this. This is just too hard. This is just too bad. Yeah, but God showed them a tree.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's where our master took care of business, was on a tree, and he cast it in, and the bitter waters became sweet. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Was something that was toxic, bitter, bad. But the power of God came and got on them and got in them and changed it. And the next thing you know, they're saying, this is the sweet life. This is sweet. This is... Somebody say, I believe God can do it. I believe in miracles. Miracles. I believe in miracles. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too difficult for him. That is nothing. Nothing. Now the devil will try to tell you that it is. But he's a liar, a deceiver, and a defeated foe. Nothing is too hard, too difficult, impossible for the Lord. Now when it comes to miracles, there's a Godward part, and there's a manward side. You don't have to be concerned about God doing his part. He's going to take care of his part. Right? So we don't need to work on the God part. We need to look at the man part, the woman part. John 2 is the account of the beginning of miracles in Jesus' ministry. And like all the scripture, there's just so much here about it. Some apocryphal writings will have Jesus, you know, as a child, healing his play friend and raising little birds from the dead. And don't you believe it? I said, don't you believe it? Because, see, that implies that he's functioning as God. And that's not true. The scripture said, Philippians talks about, he laid aside his mighty weight and glory and became like other men. When he said, if you believe on me, the works I did, you'll do also. Yes, well, if he did them as God, I can't relate to that. Right? I'm not God. But if he did them as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he'd anoint me with that same Spirit and give me that great name, I can see the glorious possibilities. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see it. So what he's doing with no unfair advantage over you or I. He's doing it completely as a human being. And so he's showing us how to do it. Showing us how to do it. And the servant's not above his master. Right? But everyone that is trained and developed will be as the master. Man, that's the highest plane there is. So they were invited to this wedding feast. You know the story. And his mother told him, said they've run out of wine. And he said, woman, which was a respectful term. He's not showing attitude to his mother. What have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. Here we see the master's total dependency on the Father. See, people leave the impression that Jesus just did whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. He walked on the water. Why? Because he's God. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He is God, but it leaves a wrong impression. Y'all are quiet. No. Everybody awake?
Yeah.
Jesus said, let me say this first. Jesus never took credit for one healing or one deliverance or one miracle in his ministry. He said, I can of my own self. Is that true or not? Is it true or not? He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see him do. Now, the way he heard and saw the Father do it is he heard himself say it. And he saw himself do it.
Wow.
Because it was the Father in him doing. And it works exactly that way today for every one of us. You can't do it different from Jesus. We got to do it the way he did it. And we have learned some things about faith and faith principles and how it works, how it comes, how it's released. We've learned a few things about our authority in Christ. But there's another big component that a lot of folks have missed and have rushed past. I'm excited to talk to you about it. Hallelujah. Yes, because so many times it's just making that adjustment and then it works. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you get results that's been evading you for years. Amen. You can't get God to adapt to you.
Come on. Come on, sir.
Because he does not change. I said he does not change. He's not going to change. He's not going to do it your way. He just won't. If anybody could have got the Father to do it his way, it would have been the Master, right? It would have been Jesus. And he didn't do it that way. He did not do it that way. He demonstrated complete and perfect submission, which is the greatest faith. I don't know if y'all heard that or not. This is one of the reasons why the devil fights submission so hard. He has convinced most people that submission is oppression. But and there's total confusion about the two ideas of submission or subjugation. Submission is not anyone making you do anything. That's subjugation. That's of the devil. Notice every time the Lord says something about submission, it started with this three-letter word, you. You submit yourself to. That's not anybody making you do anything. That's you doing it. And if you don't do it, it won't happen. And you know why so many folks won't do it? It takes faith. It takes trust. You got to trust God. And that even if the person he told you to submit to doesn't get it right, you're going to trust, well, if I'm doing what he told me to do, he's going to take care of me and the whole deal. And because of fear and because of pride, people refuse to. But that interferes with miracles. Jesus is the greatest example of faith you will ever see. He's also the greatest example of submission you will ever see. He said, come, learn about me. What? Of all the amazing things, part of his character he could have talked about, what did he zero in on? I'm meek. Right? And lowly of heart. And you'll find rest to your soul. Why? Because putting on a front will wear you out. You talk about chronic fatigue. I've heard people tell me, they say, well, man, I can't wait to get back to the house so I can just let my hair down and I can just be myself. Well, who you been being with us? Is that who? Any measure of phoniness, falseness, you're out of grace. And you're into your own thing, and if there's no grace for it, it will fatigue you. It just saps you of strength. And that's not Jesus. You talk about real. You wait till you look Jesus in the eyes. Oh, hallelujah. You will see there's not the least bit of anything false or phony. It's just perfect truth. Hallelujah. And love. Don't you want to be like him?
Yes.
Well, then we've got to stop all of this frontery. y'all said you would help me with this, right? Huh? We got to. Now you're laughing about it because I'm telling you, most everybody is doing some of this. But they have done it so long and so much, they don't notice it anymore. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And it won't all be easy. But if you're serious, pray it. Say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes.
To see pride.
To see pride.
In my life.
In my life.
I don't want it.
I don't want it.
Help me to see it.
Help me to see it.
And with your help.
And with your help.
I'll resist it.
I'll resist it.
And I'll humble myself.
I'll humble myself.
Under the mighty hand of God.
Under the mighty hand of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is that okay? Now get ready, because probably before the night's over. Now we're laughing, but I'm serious. Probably before the night's over, something will come up, you'll say or do something, and the Holy Spirit will go, that's some pride. And don't get under condemnation, just go, yes, sir, and make a note, right? And if you need to, in the middle of a conversation, say, I didn't say that right. Huh? And adjust that. And here's one of the big things to look for. Y'all are okay. Y'all are hooked. Y'all are here. Jesus said, he that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. That's what Jesus said. So watch when you start the conversation with I just, and my revelations, and what I've done, and what I've seen, and where I've been, and I've had people come up to me before and say, Brother Keith, you know, God uses me in all nine gifts. I said, okay. Well, now, is he saying that to bless me or to impress me? Can you see that? So what's the motive? And you might think of change the subject, but I'm talking about miracles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm talking about miracles.
Yeah.
These things get in the way. John 2. Look here, John 2. He said, what do I have to do with you? And my hour is not yet come. We see Jesus, he never said, okay, y'all stand back and watch this. Huh? What did Jesus say about this? Can Jesus just turn water into wine when he wants to? I just quoted scripture to you where he said he couldn't. Y'all with me or not? Did Jesus say it or did he not say it? That I can of my own self do nothing. Did he say that?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
Do you see how much religious tradition hangs on? So according to Jesus, he couldn't just do it. You know, he went to those Pool of Siloam, those pools rather, and ministered to one man and walked away and left five porches full of sick folks. Why? Why didn't he clear them out? Didn't want to? Wasn't his will? See, people have implied that if we'd get to the place where we had enough faith, we could go clean out the hospital. Jesus didn't. Y'all with me or not? Jesus didn't. No. There's been some wrong thinking. Like I said, we've learned some faith principles. We've learned a few things about authority. But there's a major component that I'm talking about now that hadn't been emphasized enough. Y'all with me okay or not?
Yes,
am I quoting scripture or not?
Yes,
huh? Jesus' mother looked at them. Y'all with me in verse 5 here? She said to the servant, she didn't bother him anymore. I mean, let me paraphrase a little bit. She's been around him his whole life, and she knows he's holy, and she knows he's destined for the greatest things. And so that's why she just leans over and says, you know, they have some lack here, and they have a situation, and I don't know if she's trying to push him a little bit. And he basically says, don't push me. My hour is not yet come. In other words, you're thinking right. You're on the right track. Timing's off. So she didn't say anything else to him about it. She just turned and said, whatever he says to you, do it. This is the phrase to get a miracle. This is it. This is the whole thing in a sentence. It's it. You know the story? He turned and said, fill the water pots with water, and they did it. Next thing you know, in a moment, I guess. I mean, they put H2O in there. And somewhere between there and dipping it into the cup, think about this. It takes time for wine. And so it wasn't just a molecular change. It was time sped up. And it happened seamlessly. There was no lightning bolts, no thunder crash. The leader of the feast, he tasted it and he thought, where'd you get this great wine from? They weren't aware that a miracle had happened.
Very good.
Jesus didn't showboat. But I want you to look at this phrase. If you're not familiar with it, mark it, circle the number, underline it. Said out loud, whatever he says to you. Whatever he says to you. Huh? Whatever he says to you. This is how faith comes. Huh? Without it, you cannot have faith in God. You can't have faith without this. And many in our camp have tried to. What's this? How many parts are in this sentence? Help me out. How many parts of what she said for them to do? Whatever he, that involves hearing, right? That's one part. And the next part is? Do it. Do it. Not one part. Now, anytime there is a great truth like this, the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. And if he can't get it out of you, he tries to confuse you about it. And he tries to distort it. It's anything to keep you from doing this. Because if you do this, all the demons in hell can't stop your miracle. They can't. They can't. Can't do it. So anytime he does it, and you'll find this on any truth of the word, when people start getting a hold of it, the enemy gets alarmed. And so he sends emissaries and does his best to push people out of rightly dividing the truth into one ditch or the other, but get them out of the truth. And you'll find that people in different religious camps and denominations have fallen into two ditches. One is the ditch of hearing and doing nothing. It's the first church of hear, but don't do. And then in the other ditch, what do you think you got? Do, but don't hear. And neither one of them will get you a miracle.
Come on.
Yes. And that's exactly what the enemy knows. Hearing, but not doing. Or doing, but not hearing. Y'all okay with this?
Yes.
Go to James, please. Second chapter. Let's talk about that last one. Said out loud, whatever he says to you, do it.
Do it.
Do it. You don't even have to analyze, do I have enough faith? Come on, think about the people in Jesus' ministry that got miracles. How many of them were graduates of ORU or Rhema or Caris or whatever, you know, or came out of a great word church like this? None of them. A lot of them couldn't read or write. And yet, they had miracles. Miracle, we're still talking about them all these centuries later. They had miracles that things impossible with men, but happened right in their life. Tell me what they did. What did they do? They heard and they did something. They heard from him and then they did what he told them. And the very fact that you acted to do what he told you proves you got faith. You don't have to analyze, do I have faith? If you did it with confidence and expectation, you got faith. That's what faith is. Hallelujah. James 2. How much of this can y'all take? James 2 and 14, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith, but has not works? Now, this word works in the King James has set off a whole trail of theological discourse and problems. When people hear the word works, they think works of the law. He wasn't talking about that at all. It's the word for deeds, for doing. Exactly what Jesus' mother told him. Whatever he says to you, he's not talking about trying to be justified by keeping the law. He says living faith does something. And if you won't do something, the faith is dead. It's not living faith. And can you see we're still talking about the same thing?
Yes, sir.
Hearing, that's how faith comes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But if you stop there, there's no power manifested. And that's why people in our camp have heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and still no miracle. Because you also got to do. But not do anything. Not just do what you want to do. See, that's where people have missed it too. And some people have had the idea, well, I'm just going to pull off my glasses and stomp them and I'll be healed. I'm just going to, you know, quit taking my insulin and you know. If that's what did it, we could just get everybody to quit taking medicine and it'd be healed. Because people have the idea, I'm going to move God. You're going to get moved. You don't forgot who you're dealing with here. You have to do it His way. Always. And in everything, how am I going to know what that is? Back to step one. I got to hear from Him. And this is where some prayer comes in. Which a lot of people don't do. A lot of church going people, a lot of preachers barely pray. I mean, barely. According to the New Testament, an hour of prayer is a regular prayer time. It's like a minimum. Jesus said, couldn't you watch with me? And then they'd go up to the temple at the hour, not the 5 minutes. Now, I'm telling you what He told me, because a while back, I got adjusted. I wasn't praying enough. And, you know, you get busy preaching, serving God, and studying, what have you, but that ain't praying. And, I hit flight level change when I started praying more. I'm telling you, I'm getting things from Him. And I'm thinking, what was I doing before, man? Because see, if you don't pray, you acting like you don't need it. You acting like, I got this myself. I can take care of this. There were times Jesus prayed all night long. Didn't He? If Jesus needed to pray, you need to pray. Huh? If Jesus needed to pray a lot, sometimes all night long, do you know what happened right after He prayed all night long? Very next morning, He named the 12 apostles. Where'd He get that? Did He just pick them off the top of His head? Did He just pick them because He liked them? Their names are in the foundation of the heavenly city forever. You got to get these right. Huh? Fellowshipping with Father all night long. He got it. He got it in His spirit. He saw every one of them. He knew who and where and what. And it wasn't Him doing it. It was the Father in Him. Do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, faith, if it doesn't have action, then can that kind of faith save you? The answer's no. Will that kind of faith receive a miracle? The new birth is a miracle. He said, verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Let me read that to you from some other translations. Faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead, the New Century said. The NIRV says, if it doesn't cause us to do something, it's dead. The Mace New Testament says, if it's not operative, and that word is energy and motion, then it's lifeless. Lifeless faith. Dead faith. Faith that, one says, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Did you know there's more than one kind of faith that is useless? The Bible talks about unfeigned faith. Well, if there's unfeigned faith, there must be feigned faith, which means it looks like faith, it sounds like faith to the untrained about it, but it's not. That's what a lot of confusion has resulted, because people said so-and-so was believing God and it didn't happen. How do you know they were believing God? Well, I heard them say this. Faith is of the heart, not the head. And how do you know what God did or didn't tell them to do, and whether they did or didn't do it? That's why we are commanded not to judge, because we are completely unqualified. I don't know what's in your heart, what you see, what you don't see. I don't know what God told you about everything. I know I was doing my best a number of decades ago in Brother Hagin's healing school to help somebody that was in a bad way, and they weren't progressing the way I thought that they should. And I said, Lord, what I do? He said, Keith, a lot happened before they got here that you don't know about, and it hasn't been changed. Well, we are, whether we realize it or not, we are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. Amen. In all these things, and if we try to exercise faith without hearing from Him, yes, we're going to see failure. And that's been too much of that. And there's been people, I know people that used to preach faith strong as I do, and they have completely quit, and now they fight against and call it cult and put, you know, flyers on windows and stay away from those meetings. And you know why? Because they prayed and tried to believe for their daughter, and she didn't receive her healing. So the devil comes immediately and says, well, see, there was nothing to that. And the next step is, does God even exist?
Yeah.
A failure to receive is not God's failure. Y'all with me or not?
Yes, sir.
This is not God letting somebody down. I'm going to tell you, the biggest problem on the planet. That's a big statement, eh? Yeah. The biggest problem on the planet. Two words. Won't listen. Won't listen. You look at all the history of the Israelites and God's dealing with them. And you will see how many times he said, if you will hearken, if you will listen, if you will hearken, if you will do what I tell you to do. But if you won't listen, all these curses will come on you. Is that right? And whether it's you or me or whoever it is, that is the first place to check up when things are not going right and not going good. Are you listening? Did he tell you something 10 years ago that you ignored? Right? Because that's when you really start getting into trouble. And I've done that. If something doesn't seem like it's working right, I get in the floor and I say, Lord, if you've shown me something and I didn't pay attention to it, have mercy on me. Show me again. I know one time this was really something that was bothering me, and it wasn't going right. It had been not going right for months, and I got serious. I started missing some meals, and I got on the floor. I said, God, you got to show me. I'm praying in the tongues. And I said, Lord, you know, show me whatever it is. Just show me if you would. And oh God, if you could help me with it. And after about an hour, I said, Lord, whatever it is, if you would just show. And I said, this? That's been there for 8 years. He said, I know. He'd been trying to get me to do something, make a change, and I thought I was too busy and whatever. And of course, you've never done anything like that, right? But I said, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And I mean immediately that whole situation changed. It's called the obedience of faith. And you can't separate. You cannot separate exercising faith and exercising your authority from being led by the Spirit. This is where people have gotten in trouble. They launch too quick to try to believe for something and do something that is not step one. Tell me what step one is. Whatever he says. You don't even know what to do. You may think you do. But just because you did it the same way 10 times before and it worked great does not mean he's going to do it that way this time. Go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, please. My, where's the time going? Hebrews 11. It's true that faith without doing is dead. But doing without faith is folly. It's going to result in failure. Hebrews 11:1. Anybody got that one marked? Listen to this in the Young's literal translation, which is one of my favorite. He's also the author of Young's Concordance. I mean, the guy really knows something about the language. He said, faith is of things hoped for, a confidence, of matters not seen, a conviction. Confidence and conviction. These are faith words. And when you skip down to the, let's see what it is, 29th verse. Thank you, Lord. 29th verse. He said, talking about verse 27, they forsook Egypt and endured as seeing him who's invisible. And verse 28, through faith they kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith. And tell me what you got to have living faith and to get a miracle. You got to hear from God. Is that it? No. And then what? You got to do it. Did they hear from God about going through the Red Sea? Yeah, they did. Did they act on it? Yeah, they did. And that's why we're still talking about the miracle of the Red Sea splitting. You remember Pharaoh and the armies closing in on them? And they're in the proverbial between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they got the sea here and they got them. And Moses is crying out to God. And he said, what you crying to me for? Tell the people to move. Go. Go forward. So they heard from God. Faith comes by hearing. With that word, go. Step is the power.
Yes, sir.
I said, is the power to create faith in your being and to give you confidence and conviction that I will not die when I step off into this water. But if you hadn't heard from God, you're in a completely different place, which you see in the rest of the verse. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. This was amazing. The Bible said the waters were congealed in the heart of the sea. God blew a wind through there that was so strong, it parted the waters, and it was so cold that as they rose up, they froze. Just the right amount. And as they're walking through, don't you know that was amazing? looking up the top of these walls of water, and they know they're in a holy moment. They're in the middle of a miracle. But then Pharaoh and his crew rolls up at the other end.
Yeah.
Now see, you've read the book, so you know they hadn't read the book. Book hadn't been written. They just roll up. And they say, hey, it's working for them. So what? The Egyptians, now get this word, a saying. Now when's the last time you used that word in a conversation? Yeah, you said, hey, you know, we were a saying over here. And that's a King James word. We'd probably say attempted. Faith without an action is lifeless, dead faith. An action without hearing from God is attempting. That was better preaching than your amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Attempting. Y'all got it back there. Yeah. Attempting to do it, what happened to them? Oh, is everybody awake?
Yes.
Same day, same place, did the same thing. One group had a miracle, a sign from God. The other group had a catastrophe and all died. Same day, same place, did the same thing. So should you try what somebody else did to get their miracle? I don't recommend it. Huh? I know it's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some seeking God. But you've got to hear from God for yourself about your situation and about what I do. Whatever he says to you. To you. See, too many people in our circles, word and faith circles, they've just jumped to the doing. It is spend enough time on the hearing. And people have said, well, you know, you just take a scripture. Any scripture is okay. It's a big book. You can't stand on all the scripture at once. Only the Holy Spirit knows exactly what word to quicken to you on this today. And until you have that, you're not ready to act. You're not ready to start claiming and rebuking and binding. And can you see why people have not had results? They move too quick to trying to do something. You even got to watch about praying. People come and say, you know, agree with me on this. Well, hold up now. You asking me to use my faith on this. I have learned I can't do that unless I hear from him about it. So we got to watch about this being so quick to just claim this and do this. And I was in another state a couple of days ago, and they were telling about a dear sister in the church, and her husband went on a rafting thing, and he was missing for just a short amount of time. And so, man, everybody gathered around, and they're claiming, and they're, and you know, help them find him. And his wife said, "Lord, help me." The Lord said, "He's with me already. He's with me." So, What can we use our faith on for?
Not that.
You're with me or not?
Yes, sir.
How does faith come?
Hearing.
Let's back up a little bit. Why could the Israelites have faith to cross the Red in the middle of the Red Sea? He told them to go. Is that what he told the Egyptians?
No.
He didn't tell the Egyptians that. And they didn't hear what God told the Israelites. You know what he told the Egyptians? Let my people. Is that right? Let my people go. So the only thing they could have had faith in God for was to let them go. That's it. And they needed faith for that because they had been completely dependent on their labor for nothing for their civilization. So they need faith to believe they can make it without them, which they could have had. Except they drowned the next couple hours. Trying to do what God told somebody else to do. Hallelujah. I'm out of time.
You right? Talking good.
Huh? Close out? Or? Huh? Go a little bit more? Yes, no? No, I'm asking. I want to be respectful. It's 9 o'clock. Okay, sir. A little bit more. This won't take long. 1 Samuel 17. This won't take long. How do you get a miracle? Come on, help me out. How?
What he said to me.
Whatever he says to you. And you're not done. Then you got to do it. Do what? Not just anything. What he said to you. And then you just step back and watch him work. That's it. Once you get there, it's all him.
Hallelujah.
He does it. And he do things sometimes. I've seen him do things so quick. It was faster than the blink of an eye. It was faster than a millimeter. I don't know. You're looking at somebody. And I remember one time I laid hands on a woman. She had a big growth on. And when I put my hand on it, next thing I know, her arm's flat. And I thought, I know that was there. I know that was there. She started shouting and hollering. She said, it's gone, it's gone. I said, it was there, right? She said, well, yeah, it was there. It was there for years. Miracle. Miracle. We just did what he told us to do on that particular time. And he had done it so quick, I wasn't ready for how quick he was doing. I want to hear you say,
I have miracles
in my life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I hear.
And I do.
And I have miracles.
I have miracles.
1 Samuel 17. Let me finish this up quickly here. This is the great account when young David faced that great big giant Goliath. And this is held up as an, you know, timeless example of faith to us. And oh, it's all in here. One of the main things about it, he kept saying something. Hallelujah. But he didn't stop there. He did something. Is that right? And if you don't take it takes faith as a 17-year-old boy to run toward a 10, 12-foot giant killing machine, then you obviously hadn't been there. It took faith. It took a complete conviction, confidence in your God that he had told you something about this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here you go. Because he, to everybody else that's watching, he's about to die. Everybody else there looking at that scene. When the king Saul saw him and he's telling him, send me. I'll go, you know, take care of this uncircumcised, no covenant, nobody Philistine. They're talking about how big he is. He's talking about how big God is.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Hey. Verse 32, he said, don't let anybody's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go. I will go. And then the king said, you're not able to go against him. You're just a youth. And so he tells him, yeah, but I've had some experience.
Yes, sir. Come on, Doc. Yes.
I dealt with a bear.
Yeah.
I dealt with a lion.
Come on.
And he ain't going to be no different.
Yes, sir. Come on.
The lion's dead.
Yeah.
The bear's dead.
Yes, sir.
He's about to be.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Dead. And it must have been something in his voice, in his character, because the king said, okay. Right? Okay. When they really, everything natural should have told you, get this kid out of the tent and send him home, you know? But they're like, everybody in this room's going,
yeah.
I think he thinks he can do it.
Yes, sir.
And so, verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass on his head and put on his coat of mail. He's trying to give him some protection. Maybe he won't just die from the first blow, you know what I mean? And David put the sword on, put the armor on, but then he essayed. There you go again. And he stopped. I want you to think about what kind of courage it took for this teenage boy to speak up in front of the king and everybody there. Because the king, he got the best armor in the army, and he's doing you this great honor by letting you use his personal stuff to go fight. But David speaks up and says, no, I can't go with this.
Confidence and conviction.
I hadn't proved this. I can't go with this. So he reached and got his staff.
Yes, sir.
Staff's a stick.
Yes.
Yeah, but him and this stick.
Come on.
They've been with the bear.
Yes, sir.
They've been with the lion.
Come on.
Come on. They've been out in the middle of the woods in the mountain at night, and they dealt with the snake. And
come on.
Huh? He likes the feel of it. Comfortable. Fits his hand, used to the balance. And then he found him five smooth stones out of the brook, 45 caliber. Ah. And he put them in the shepherd's bag.
Yeah.
And he took his sling. And that's it. No helmet, no breastplate, no boots, no sword, no shield. No spear. Stick. Stones. Sling.
Come on, sir.
And God.
Yay! That's all you need.
What if he had tried to go with the armor? Huh?
It wouldn't work.
What would have been wrong with it?
Somebody else's armor.
Not his armor? Right? Not what he knows? Not what he's heard from God about. And so when he actually goes out to face him and runs out to face him, the Philistine laughs. He's insulted. He said, you send a kid out here with a stick? He said, well, come on. We'll feed the crows. And David said, verse 45, I'm finishing up. He said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Now let's just stop. If he had followed the king's instruction, what would have he been going with? A sword, a shield. Can you see this? And he said, you've defied the armies of Israel. He said, verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. He's heard from the Lord about it. And I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head off of you. I'm going to give the carcasses of all your friends to the fowls of the air, that all the earth may know how bad David is. No, no. This ain't about David. Hey. Come on, can y'all see this? And all this assembly shall... Oh, come on, get this, get this. They will know that the Lord did not save with a sword. Hey. You see, he would have totally missed God if he had taken that sword. Because that was one of God's big things about this whole deal. He wanted to demonstrate that he could easily conquer the devil's biggest, baddest with a slingshot.
Yes, sir.
And a boy.
Yes, sir.
This was about glorifying God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glorifying God. Oh, and it's the same way with me. It's the same way with you. In every situation, we should say, oh God, get glory to yourself. But you're going to have to find out how he wants to do it. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord. All your heart. And what? Don't lean. Don't lean. What's the next part? In all your ways. See, it's not enough to know it's the will of God. You also have to know how he wants to do it this time. Stand on your feet, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Give praise to the Lord. Give thanks to the God of gods, King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of glory. God of glory. God of glory. Hallelujah. Let me lead you in a prayer. We don't know who's in the house. But everybody, whether you've received or needing to receive or affirm or reaffirm your faith, say, Father, I believe in you. I believe in your Son, Jesus. That he died on the cross. He paid for all my sins. Every mistake. And I believe you've raised him from the dead. He's alive right now. Jesus, I confess you, Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Father, forgive me for trying to do things my own way. Trying to do things when I didn't hear from you. Thank you for your mercy. That I'm still here. It's because of your mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, listen. This is serious. And this doesn't end at the end of the service. Said out loud, Lord, I'm asking you,
tell me what to do
to get the miracle. Now, you know what that is, whatever area that is. But say it out loud, I won't assume. I won't fill in the blanks. I'm looking to you. I'm asking you.
If you've already told me,
please tell me again. And
by your grace,
I'll not be a hearer only,
but I will do it.
And I thank you
for watching over your word
and performing it
in my life,
in my body,
in my finances,
in my family,
in our ministries,
in our churches.
Get glory
to yourself
in every part
in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Awesome.
Hallelujah.
I'm
getting some glimpses
of miracles.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say miracles.
Miracles.
Miracles happen,
miracles happen
in my life.
Spiritual miracles.
Mental miracles.
Emotional miracles.
Physical miracles.
Financial miracles
happen
for me.
Not just
what you heard somebody else
happen. For me.
They happen
for me.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.